I was driven by pain, driven by not knowing the end goal and what I wanted from life. All I knew that I had to do was make money, go party, so I didn't have to face my demons, and I didn't want to. I denied self-work for a long time. I believe that people should be categorized by their wealth. I believed intelligence was categorized by wealth. And I've come to the realization and a strong understanding that wealth lives inside of your mind, not in your bank account. And he who controls his mind controls everything.
Hello and welcome to the Building Better Leaders podcast, brought to you by Scaffold Coaching. I'm Rachel Sullivan.
And I'm John Tattersall.
In today's episode, we are continuing our theme around mental well-being, and we are delighted to be joined by Laurie Haynes, the co-founder of App Shira, which is a mental health and mental well-being app designed to put you in control of your mental health. John and I both use it. We're big advocates of it. So welcome to the podcast, Laurie.
Hey guys, well, thank you for having me. I've been super excited about this one, I have to say.
Good, it's wonderful to have you aboard. And we are very excited because you have launched a corporate offering for Shira, which we will talk about in a bit, which makes it highly relevant to our Building Better Leaders program, which really helps build resilience and positive mental health habits in leaders. But before we jump into today's conversation, Laurie, just introduce yourself for those of our listeners that don't know who you are, that don't know your backstory, and just talk us through the journey that led you to create a mental health and mental wellness app, because it's no small feat. How did you get there?
Wow. So where do we start? I'm Laurie Haynes, entrepreneur, business owner. I've spent many, many years on my own self-work journey. And that's trying to heal myself, understand certain traumas and certain events that I inherited as a kid, all the way through to my adult life and how it affected me the whole way through my earlier teens into my adult life. Now, from a business leader perspective, I've lived with the ups and downs of success. I've sold companies all the way through to had companies crumble in my hands. So I felt the pressure, the pain points, and at many times wanted to give up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fast forwarding, so we don't have many hours on the podcast to you guys to go through my whole life story. But fast forwarding many years, after 5.5 years of in-depth, solid therapy sessions, around 2 to 3 hours per week, and a lot of self-work, self-reflection, I then met my current fiance, Fern, and we both decided that there wasn't quite enough out there for everybody to use to help them with their journey. Now, everybody comes on a self-work journey from different perspectives, and it's never one shoe fits all. Everybody's experienced different things, and the outcome of the traumatic event they might have been through is always going to be different to the next person. So where we... sometimes I say unfortunately, fortunately, whichever way around you want to look at it, I've inherited quite a lot of different traumas collectively together and separately. Mine mostly through my upbringing, Fern's into her adult years from public eye downfalls and many other situations. So we decided there needs to be more on the market for people, for businesses, for people, everyday people, because regardless if you're a B2B or a B2C, you're still a human being. So We went through all the platforms that we were using as individuals. And one thing that came to mind, me being a business owner, I was like, calculate the costs of both of those platforms that you're using there and this one. And Fern being Fern, just plodding along as the months and years went on, was using so many different platforms. She was spending over £400 a month on mental health and well-being, mostly apps, right? And I didn't use half as many as what she was using. I was spending around £80 a month. And many of them worked great. Many of them didn't work. Some I probably forgot to unsubscribe, but hey ho. So we then compared them both, and we were both very curious to why I was using certain ones to her. And we laugh about it now. We say we bonded through trauma. Because we laid all our cards on the table at the start, and we were like, right, I do therapy, I do hypnotherapy, I was doing counseling, I was doing CBT, I was doing a few different things because I'm a very big advocate of quantum thinking and understanding how the brain works. Hence, I'm now studying psychology at university because I'm really intrigued with how the brain works and how it functions. And when we got deeper into the conversation, me and Firm, and we sort of was exploring these different apps and platforms, it was quite intriguing to understand from one person's perception why that platform helped them better than what it did me. Yeah. And I said it in quite a light, brief word. I was like, imagine there was just something for like a reasonable price that actually had the things that I wanted that were missing. And she was like, yeah, can you imagine that? Because that doesn't do that. And I was like, yeah, well, this sort of does, but not quite like that. And she went, why don't we do something? I went, we've got to make an app. I did to do Shiraz.
Laurie, what was the most pertinent first event in your story that went on to shape who you are and why you want to do what you want to do?
So it was a matter of realization that certain things or behaviorisms or ways that I acted throughout my adulthood weren't due to the reasonings of what I believed it was. So that took me to a dead end road where I was like, I'm going out partying 3-4 days a week. Alcohol was brilliant to suppress my emotions. I've never been someone that really cried, didn't understand really why or how. And until I went to therapy and made that choice to go into therapy and be open-minded to new things, rather than thinking that it's okay to be a jack the lad, I'm making money, I'm successful when it comes to finances, but I'm not successful when it comes to actually living inside my own head, because I would work really hard looking forward to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and mostly Sunday. So that would be party season, then feel absolutely terrible for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and half of Thursday until I had my next drink. So I wasn't an alcoholic, by far not an alcoholic, and not even a functioning alcoholic. Sorry, should I say? I wasn't even a functioning alcoholic, but I wasn't a happy person. Although I smiled and made everyone else laugh.
Were you in a cycle?
Yeah. A very bad cycle. I can call it bad from now, looking back at it. But at that point, there would have been a lot of younger people, the Gen Zs. A lot of people were like, oh, you've got the watches, the cars, the house, the holidays. You've got the lifestyle. Oh, my God. And it depends how you measure success, John. Because, you know, ultimately having extra funds in the bank account does go a long way. And it can help in creating a more fulfilled lifestyle. Sure. I'm never going to deny that. Money doesn't buy happiness, but it definitely helps create a life that you want. So I had some things worked out, business ethics. I've always been quite intelligent, but I was never to the level where I could articulate myself in a way that people could understand me. And I've always had to try and manage my minor ADHD. I had minor, I wouldn't say outburst of Tourette's, but more tics. So I would overthink things a lot, and my eyes would tick, and I wouldn't be able to get my words out and articulate myself. So I'd become frustrated. So I've learned how to control my mind, if that makes sense. So I've learned how to control who's in control and manage my daily expectations of what life looks like for me. And I no longer set huge goals. And I also have really worked on myself to understand that success isn't measured by jumbo jets, LA mansions and yachts, because that's what always was my driver. I always wanted the best of the best, usually because I wanted to show those that doubted me who has proven them wrong. So I was driven by pain. Driven by not knowing the end goal and what I wanted from life. All I knew that I had to do was make money, go party so I didn't have to face my demons, and I denied self-work for a long time.
So I think quite a lot of people who are listening to this podcast can identify with that cycle. and with all those experiences that you've just shared there, if someone was clicking onto this podcast now, what would you think they'll get out of listening? Where will they go with this? What will they walk away with?
So I just want to say to anybody that might be going through a similar journey to me, perhaps you've experienced traumatic events throughout your life, now's the opportunity for you to say, do you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to start to self-reflect. I want to understand why I feel the way I do at certain times. What triggers me? Why do I get triggered? And how can I learn to manage these emotions that I'm feeling? Now, there's many ways of starting that journey. It could be therapy, counseling. I'm a big advocate of that. But also, that comes at a cost. And financially, not everybody is, you know, is accessible to those guys. So that's why, rolling back to where I was heading earlier with Shirah, we built Shirah to be a solution that can help people at a cost-effective price. Now, all of the pain points that me and Fern have been through, we grabbed the best solutions from different platforms that we used, made them better, and implemented different methodologies of how it can actually help people on a day-to-day basis. And when I do a lot of talks and I'm speaking at events and podcasts and I speak to people independently, they always say to me, like, "What? Where's the best place to start? I'm really overwhelmed. I'm confused. Like, I don't know, opening up a brand new platform, there's a lot in there, and I don't really know why I'm going there because I don't understand myself." So I always say, start with the most simple things that you can do in life. And that is waking up at the same time every day, going to bed at a reasonable time, and within the same hour every night, because the human mind needs structure. It needs routine. And to be able to get a routine and to form new habits and to create new rituals, you need to have structure. Humans work well with structure. Like animals, they know where to go to the toilet and where they know. They know where they're fed. They know where they sleep. And humans are the same. We know where to get water from a tap. We know how to reasonably cook a meal. Obviously, some people are better than others, but it depends your skill set. But structure is what forms us, and it will help us regulate our moods and emotions.
I love that you brought that up, Laurie, because as people who have been long-time listeners to the podcast will know, we have our Building Better Leaders program, and we do a lot of work that helps leaders to better manage their time, manage how they prioritize their workloads, raise their self-awareness in terms of their kind of leadership style. But the biggest thing we find that goes is routine and rituals when you are stressed. And this is where you forget what you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, our minds are incredibly well-versed in blocking out knowledge when we're very stressed. Our thought action repertoire narrows. And what happens is we'll often run workshops where people are, they're nudging towards overwhelm. So they've had some healthy stress, new stress that's been really positive, that's helped them get where they've got to. But very gradually, that stress starts to move towards de-stress, and then it starts to become chronic stress. And then before you know it, they're working late. And I'm sure you've been in this cycle, Laurie. They're getting up earlier, they're working late, they're using a glass of wine to relax, you know, at night and unwind. And these routines and rituals are often the first thing to go, because we think if we just give something more time, we'll be more efficient. And that doesn't work. That equation isn't linear. So what we like to talk about is a little bit of like what you were just saying then, but where I think we love some of the tools in Shirah, and you know, we don't have to talk about Shirah specifically for this, but the daily journaling, getting up, thinking about the intentions, how do you want to be in that day, not just what do you want to do? What I like about the Shirah app is it provides a space where you can create some really lovely habits for first thing in the morning. But I think the biggest issue we all face as a society, and anybody that works, you know, in a big corporate or in a leadership role will face now, is we're just so busy that these things are often the first thing that go. So what tools have you learned that have helped you keep to a routine and ritual so you don't forget it when the shit hits the fan, really, and we get really stressed and all the good stuff we know goes out the window?
So the reason why the good stuff that you know goes out the window and that analogy is there is because your front cortex, your frontal lobes, when you become stressed, they switch off. Cortisol rushes up your back and it goes straight into the chemical neurons in the back of your mind, and you can't then function correctly, right? And that's when you get distressed, you don't know what you're doing. So what we need to try and learn to do, and this is where meditation plays a huge part. Now, this doesn't mean you've got to be Sadhguru with your back straight, palms over, humming along, right? That is traditional meditation, which is brilliant. But you can meditate on the train, the bus, anywhere. You need to only have your eyes half closed, half vision. You don't have them fully closed and palms over. So if you learn how to control the mind and learn how to be in control of your own body, because the body does what the mind tells it. And the mind needs to listen to you, because your mind's only going to have one level of authority. And if you allow it to be that level above yourself, you're going to face problems and difficulties. So what we do in Shiraz and what I do within myself, my own life, when I wake up, the first thing I do is neck a glass of water. So my body starts functioning. It knows I'm alive. Don't put a coffee straight in it, because when you wake up, you automatically get a release of caffeine and different stimulants that help your body go, great, we're awake. Let's get this day started. The minute you put sugar, and because it also releases natural sugars, the minute you put sugar and caffeine in there, you are literally suppressing and bringing that power bar right back down.
I love that. Yeah, nice.
So you need to drink a glass of water. Go straight downstairs. Do not wake up and look at your phone, because that is instantly going to put you in some kind of place, depending on what you open first. That video is going to set you up for the day. Now, if you go straight to Instagram or TikTok and open up and you're following something about Crime Watch or the news, why the first thing you see is you're going to want to have your mind polluted by that, right? So don't look at your phone. Go downstairs and literally take a moment for yourself. You've just woken up, right? The organs are all kicking back in. So I have my phone in my hand. I go straight downstairs after my glass of water and I'm in my kitchen. Oh, then this is me. Not everybody can do this. I understand that. But this is where healthy stresses come from. And this is why in high stress level, when high stress levels should occur in any point in life, doesn't matter where it's come from, I am always ready because I've got a magnitude of resilience. Reason being, little things. I get in a nice plunge pool. I put my body through that stress. So when my body feels in a certain kind of way because of something that maybe not be my fault, I know that how I react to what's going on is going to determine the outcome. Yeah. So I've got a magnitude of resilience because I've dealt with my traumas. I've hit them head on, and I tell myself, no matter what's going on in life, I'm in control of this mind and body. When it's raining outside and it's cold and it's 5:15 in the morning, I know I have to get in that plunge pool, because if I don't, what's next? I'm going to sit down and do what? Look at my phone. Because Instagram, TikTok, scrolling through social media, all of these things, a glass of wine when things feel crap, these are cheap stimulants. And that's what the human being wants, is stimulation. That's why we do everything in life. And people that don't understand biology and chemistry and psychology and the way the body and the mind works, everybody wants to feel some kind of stimulant. You go shopping to buy something, to get a stimulant of buying something, to feel good. And then the second reward is people looking at that item you've purchased, say, oh, that's worth X, Y, and Z. You've got something they don't have. That's why people do things in life.
I love that analogy of when you wake up in the morning, really, it's as soon as you look at your phone and Instagram, it's like you've put a car straight into sixth gear. It's too high to go to. Now, not everybody has an ice bath. Not everybody wants to jump in an ice bath first time, but I have a more gentle approach for those that are not as extreme as perhaps somebody like yourself, Laurie, is I'll come downstairs and the first thing I do, wind, rain or shine, is just step outside. So, you know, if it's winter, I get that blast of cold, but it's just that breathing fresh air and doing something purposeful before you jump into your daily routine. And I guess it doesn't really matter whether it's a cold shower, an ice bath. It's about establishing, I think what you're saying is it's about establishing that first 15 to 30 minutes of your day that's not dictated by the rhythm of somebody else's social media feed, that it's about setting out intention and not stimulating your body first thing?
Yeah, like, look, as I said, it's not applicable to everybody, and I know it's not accessible to everybody. That's just my routine.
Yeah, like, of course.
I can give you some inspiration off of that, and people can follow me on Instagram, at Loza Haynes. You can see the lifestyle that I live. And let's strip it all the way back to those that can't think further than the next step, right? Because it's easy for me to say, because I'm so many years into my journey, and I've done so much self-work and reflection and studying and stuff, I can easily say that, right? But let's go back to where I was when I was depressed in bed and didn't want to get out of my bed, and when I had anxiety so bad that I thought the floor was moving and stuff. So let's talk about those days. What did I do? The only thing I could do was say to myself, as long as I wake up at the same time, set a bedtime routine. If you're going to get up at 7, get up at 7. Whether it's 6, 5, whatever time it is, make that your time. Whatever time you say you're going to go to bed, do it. Don't sit there till 11, 12, 1 past midnight, scrolling through stuff, right? Set a bedtime routine and follow it. Anybody can do that. Anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. When you wake up, don't go downstairs and go and get in a cold plunge pool, because that might not be for you. Make your bed. Make your bed. Go downstairs and drink a small cup of water. If you can't deal with a big pint glass, drink a cup of water. If you say to yourself, thank you for that, Laurie, that I'm going to do that every day for the next 30 days. I'm waking up at 7, I'm going to bed at 9:30, and I'm drinking a glass of water when I wake up. That's what I'm going to do. Watch how your life will change just from those small, intricate steps. Just that. Anybody can do that.
What?
Anybody tell them they can't, I'll disagree.
What sort of things will people notice, Laurie, from starting with that routine, or however they sort of manufacture it? I really love the idea that you don't look at your phone. I really love the idea that you have a glass of water. Setting your bedtime routine, time you get up, time you go to bed. What sort of things will people benefit from?
Well, firstly, what they'll understand, John, is I'm in control of this mind and body. Because I said I was going to do something and I've done it. When you set yourself up to do something and you don't do it, the subconscious mind and many other parts of the brain says, he never does what he says he's going to do. He quits. So when times get tough and that little voice creeps in, quit, it's time to quit. This is not you. You don't even enjoy this. Go back to doing what you know, back to that miserable place that was the place you always lived in. Let's go back home. And that's the point where you will say, no, I don't have that anymore, because I drink my glass of water, I get up at the same time. Regardless of what else happens around me, if work life becomes more stressful, you might break up from a relationship, things might happen in life that are unfortunate and you can't control. But if you stick to it...
Talk to me about the rest of your day then. How does the structure of your... the rest of your day work?
Let me be totally honest with you, because I'm always very transparent. And if I don't wake up in the right way and go to bed at the right time, and I don't have my first meal within a certain time frame after I've done my rituals, there's more likelihood, the probability would be high 90s, that I would binge chocolate throughout that day. I need to get a dopamine source from somewhere. I get it from my plunge pool. I get it from completing work. I get it from my meditation. It brings me back down to a level. When things are getting tough around me and I'm like, oh, I just want to get out of the house. I've had enough of this. Oh, and people are emailing, there's Teams calls. And I'm like, oh, please go away. I'll just do breath work. I'll just put my Shirah app on. And there's free stuff on YouTube. If you don't want to pay for a subscription to use a platform, go on there, find breathwork and breathe. When you are in the gym or you're running or you're doing something, what happens? You get out of breath, so you breathe. If I held your nose and mouth and covered your breath, the only thing you would want in this world is to just breathe. So breathe. When things get tough, doesn't matter what it is, you feel burnout, you're feeling stressed, you're tired, go and breathe. Actually sit, but you've got to follow the correct breathing mechanisms. Hence, I said, go to a platform and find it, because different breaths do different things, right?
So these are really good life hacks for situations that anybody could find themselves in. And talk to us a little bit about Shirah and how that helps, because it sounds to me like it's a really useful framework, a place where people can go and build their life cycle with in a really positive way. So to talk to us about how that works.
So we call it the Shirah Circle, and it's a 360 wellbeing suite. So if you go into the platform, and we want people to, in life, when things get tough or struggle or within their daily routine, in the back of their mind, they're always saying, right, let's go do Shirah. You do Shirah, yeah? And that's what you do. So it could be, right, today's very stressful. I'm going to do some breath work and I'm going to write in my journal. Many of us will overthink and keep having things rushing through our minds until we release it from your mind, right? If you don't release it, you're going to keep thinking about it. So we've got a cleanse feature, which we're just about to implement some really cool artificial intelligence, which helps people that have writer's block and people that can't articulate their emotions. It will help prompt you when you're typing to pull it out of your mind. And then what it will do is when you click save, it will gest you to have a solution. So if you're talking about a relationship breakup in your cleanse, how it's hurting you, how you can't bear to see them on social media, whatever it might be, it's going to give you a solution. And you can regenerate it if it's not applicable for you. If it is, you save it under my solutions. It will then nudge you and hold you accountable to hitting that solution target. And whilst we're talking about nudges and solutions, we've got our own ritual section, and on mine are all set in Shirah. It hits my Apple Watch, it pings up on my phone, my desktop, it gives me nudges and alerts, accountability. And for instance, a lot of mine are, have you drunk 3 liters of water today? Have you made your bed? Have you done X, Y, and Z? And when I see them, I'm like, oh, crap, no, I haven't done that yet. And I've got a bottle of water there, I'll neck it. So it's those gentle nudges that you need. And they always seem to come up at the right time. So you create your rituals and routine in the app. You select from our categories or you type your own because everybody's life is different. Once you input those and click done, that's now your new rituals and routine. You tick that off every day. It will alert you. So it's you have to tick it off. The next part of the journal, you've got writing affirmations. If you affirm what you want in life, that is a big start and a big step to working towards goals and where you're heading. So the next part after you affirm what you want, you create your goals in the app. And they also alert you and nudge you, and you can set dates by them. Because if you don't set goals, you don't have purpose. Without purpose, you're never going to feel fulfilled. Happiness is not a destination. Happiness is a stimulant you feel at certain times. I could be happy right now, and someone could barge in that room and make a scene, and I'm going to be instantly unhappy. Happiness is not a destination. It's a stimulation that you feel. So if you set goals, you are now giving yourself a vision, something to focus on. And that next brings us to a feature we're launching very soon called Vision Board. You can create your own vision boards in the app. We've linked it to a platform called Unsplash. There's millions of 4K images and videos in there. So you create a vision. So when if you had a conversation with two separate people, John, one person has no vision, no goals, no routine, and is stuck in a rut, in a cycle, right? Living paycheck to paycheck, living by doing the job they don't enjoy, but they feel like they have to because they don't have the experience or the energy to step into a different direction, versus someone that will tell you, I affirm what I want in life. I write my gratitudes every morning, the things I'm grateful for. If I can't think of anything, then I know I'm not in the right frame of mind. So I'll do a breath work. Then I'll go back to my gratitude and I'll be grateful for the legs that carry me around and the breath in my lungs. Because you've got to be grateful for the smallest things in life, or the universe will quickly take them away. So you create your rituals. You're affirming what you want. You are setting goals. You are writing your gratitudes. You are creating vision boards and you're looking at them. Save them on your desktop. Print them off. Put them on the wall. Save them on your phone. Look at what you set you are going to do. Like when you select what you want for dinner and you put food in the fridge, you know it's in there. You thought about it. You ordered it. You picked it up or it got delivered. You put it in the fridge. You've got the recipe running around your mind. You're going to get it out. You're going to cook that sucker up and you're going to make it look tasty and probably share it on social media. Look at all the action points in making one meal. That's what you've got to do with life. Where am I getting the ingredients? What have I got to do to get this ingredient? How am I going to prep this? And what's it going to look like and taste like later? That's the things you need to think about.
Yeah, I think one of the things we like about what you're doing and how useful an app like Shiraa might be is what you were saying before, Laurie, about if you don't start your day right and then the work stress comes in, you're reaching for the chocolate, you're reaching for the sugar. I could relate to everything. I was like thinking that is me all over. In fact, that was me yesterday when I was up against a deadline on a tender.
It's cheap dopamine.
It's such cheap dopamine. But what we talk about when we're on our Building Better Leaders program and we're doing the module on performance and resilience and that nudges into healthy habits is if you're not self-aware, you know you do these things, but you're not doing anything with intention. So I think one of the really good things about the Shiraa app that's such a quick and non-intrusive early step is the journaling that's on your phone. Because if you're not journaling and making the link between how you acted and how you felt and what the outcome was, you can't make those connections to understanding that actually when I did get up and went outside or went for a walk, I was so much more productive that day. And I think when we think about giving people more personal choices and that you are personally responsible for your day and your mental health, it's really tricky for organizations and people that work in HR and learning and development to find one size fits all solutions. I'm personally a big advocate of the CALM app. For a period of my time when I had an incredibly stressful job, I was a big advocate of Headspace. The issue with those apps is they only appeal to like 5 or 10% of your organization. You know, I loved what you said about...
I had both of them.
Yeah, and we coach a lot of individuals, John and I. We're not therapists, we're coaches. So we tend to get people that they come into coaching and then they might realize they need counseling later on, or they're at an overwhelmed stage where they need to make sense of their actions. And we might suggest using Headspace to help them meditate. And you can tell instantly people that, no, I'm not gonna sit their palms up, like you said. And I think the issue with having, I personally love those two applications, but they're really tricky to implement at a corporate level because they turn off more people than they turn on. Whereas what's nice about Shiraa is there's a little bit of something that will appeal to everybody. Not all of it, absolutely not. But I think that cleanse feature around if you don't write down what's worrying you and you can't always tell your boss, you need to get it out because it will manifest in work, which will reduce productivity.
Well, the other side to that is we've got something called Shiraa, and that's Shiraa's Trusted Guru. It's powered with artificial intelligence and machine learning. It is a therapeutic companion. It is like having a non-opinionated friend in your pocket that you can speak to 24/7, 365. Now, if you want a healthy recipe, it's going to give it to you. If you have a question about why you're feeling a certain way, it's going to answer it for you. So therapy on demand is very difficult. It's not cost effective. It's expensive. You have to book it in and wait until your time. When you're going through an absolute hell of a time, you want something now. Because if I want food, Uber Eats and Deliveroo's there. If I want a taxi, Uber's there. Amazon updates me for the minute I click my finger. This generation as well, the Gen Z, everything is now.
Yeah.
So therapy seems like a distance, such a huge distance away. So we created Shiraa so you can have it there. It's your therapeutic companion to talk about anything. And it really unravels your mindset via the questions you're asking to help you think from different perspectives. Because, for instance, if you said, I hate my wife today. Oh, life's so crap right now. It would say, why do you hate your wife? What has she done? Then when you answer that question, it would say, have you asked her why she's acting that way? Or perhaps maybe she's not meaning it to be that way. Have you sat down and spoke to her? And why is life crap? And it will ask you, it will unravel these, and you will just keep answering and answering and answering. So you get that sense of decompressing yourself because you're speaking about it. And when someone or something tells you an answer, especially when it comes from an intelligent piece of software, because most of us are so used to Google. The problem with Google, it will only give you the output that you are searching for. Why are apples unhealthy? It will tell you a million reasons why. Why are apples healthy? It will tell you a million why they are healthy. Whatever you put in that terminology when you're asking Google something is the outcome you're going to get. Sheru doesn't do that. That's the difference. Why I always tell people, stop searching on Google for your answers and in blogs and forums, because you're not speaking to the right people or getting the right information. Sheru can do that for you. And our next version that we're launching very, very soon, you can hold the button and speak to it, and it speaks back in a human-like voice. So you get that feeling that you're speaking to something or someone, and it's instantly there.
I can hear, I love all this stuff, but I can hear a few people listening to this going, oh God, this AI stuff, it sounds all a bit spacey, and how can you outsource that? I think what we'd really implore people to do, particularly if you're a millennial or a Gen X or a boomer in one of these positions, is maintain a place of curiosity. And there's a couple of things that you mentioned that I really want to pick up on, and why John and I are really curious about this is we're all so busy. Leaders are more constrained than ever in terms of time pressures. Businesses don't have infinite budgets. It would be amazing to give every single employee 6 counselling sessions a year. That is not financially viable. But because we're all so busy and we're not as open, it can be extremely daunting, particularly for younger members of staff, to approach a leader initially and say how they're feeling. And what's really good about a piece of AI kit like Sheru is it talks them down in that instance, which can help prevent upset in the workplace, tears, overwhelm. And where I think a lot of our clients, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, and actually most of the organisations that we work and interact with and follow this organisation, is they are incredibly well-versed in mental health awareness, first aid training. They're very supportive of their employees. They do a lot of this great stuff. The issue is, like you said, Laurie, it's really hard to be immediately responsive. And that is what people need today, because so much of what we do as coaches in L&D and in, as mental health first aiders, it's when people get to crisis point and we want to prevent them getting there to make the entire workforce more productive. And I think this is where AI and tools like Sheru are going to be potentially game changing for those organizations that adopt them first.
Yeah. So Sheru is a prevention tool.
Yeah.
Now, and you can save so much money and time and stress within an organization if you work on preventative methods. Now, I understand mental health training, and I've been and done all the courses myself. And, you know, scientifically, human beings forget 40 to 60% of any interaction. So it doesn't matter if you sit a day course or a 3-day training course. 1 month later, you're not going to remember all of that training you've had, because it's not your job role that you're doing every single day. And also, who looks after A when he's got to look after B? So this is the understanding that a lot of companies go, oh, well, we train people to be, you know, medically trained in mental health. I'm like, well, who looks after those guys then? Well, who does? Who looks after the leaders and the people that, you know, sit below those guys? And I always say it a lot, and you need to lead from the top up, the top down. Sorry, you have to lead from the top down. So that means you guys at the top need to be using platforms like Sheru. You need to be sharing stuff. We've got a whole huge library of mini bite-sized pods, and we record them here in our studio. We've got doctors all the way through to life coaches, psychoanalysts, you name it, we've got the whole array in there.
One of my favourites is Jeff Brazier. I just think he's so lovely to listen to. Yeah, he's brilliant.
But the reason why he's amazing, he's a neuro-linguistic practitioner, and he's got someone that's got a life story, and he's a presenter, yeah. So he knows how to deliver the information. Now, you know, that's just one person you've named there. We've got lots of people that talk about addictions, whether that's drugs or alcohol, people that don't understand how to take time from themselves and allow themselves to stop the risk of burnout. So we've got a whole huge library there that anyone can listen to at any time.
I think what you've covered there is what John and I, we almost record ourselves saying this, don't we, John, where we say, as a leader, your job is to role model. And that requires being a little bit vulnerable. And I'd love to see more leaders in organisations sharing little sound bites. And actually, I'm actually just thinking, can I actually think of an organisation where a CEO or a senior leader regularly shares mental health tools? I can't. And I think that is what Shira or you know, it could be other platforms. You can use TED Talks, you can use all sorts. But that, think about as a leader what you're role modeling in terms of healthy habits, and have you seen this? I've listened to this. It's really useful. And that is that top down laddering, and been a little bit vulnerable that I've been really stressed and overwhelmed. And I found this breathing exercise really helpful.
The thing is, HR take a huge impact in the business because although they've got many roles within their role, they are the guys that are realistically supposed to be looking after the people, they say, unless you've got a people officer or head of well-being, depends how big your organization is. And it falls on their shoulders. But what also falls on their shoulders is the budgets, right? The budgets that they don't get. And I do a lot of sales calls, speak to a lot of companies, and although how promising many of them sound, they come back and go, oh, I don't have the budget. And I just know by being a people reader and a people person, and I'm very good at understanding situations. And I know their boss have said no. They're on board. They love it. The team love it. Their boss has said no because they want more money in their bank account, right? And what I try expressing so much is, you guys at the top, they're in control. The financial controllers, right? The FDs. You need to invest back into your people. How do you expect people to work at their optimum and be happy, inverted commas, when you're not giving them anything but a 2 or 3 day mental health course once in a blue moon that you expect that person to now be Superman wearing a cape coming in saving everybody? Like, it doesn't work that way round. Yeah. And if you want a company that can recruit great people and headhunt great people, if you want to win awards, if you want to win great contracts, start with the people. Put the people in that hierarchical triangle. Doesn't start with the C-suite, then the managers. No, people. You're all people. You all need support. And business owners need to do that. We are less than £5 a user. Less than £5 a user. Sometimes even a couple of pound a user. But I had a conversation with someone the other week and they went, yeah, every Friday, end of the month, providing we've hit sales quotas, we get a load of pizzas in and a few beers and stuff. I didn't say nothing. I was like, oh, okay, nice. Back of my mind was going, wow, pizzas and beers? Jesus, to send them off into the weekend with after pizzas and beers. Like, you'd waste £300-400 the end of that month on whatever the staff amount they had, feeding them salty, you know, unhealthy pizzas and beers to reward them. Like,
it's nuts, isn't it? Yeah.
Let's change that Friday to doing a 10-minute breath and meditation session, or 10 minutes, anyone do what you want on Shira. Like, change the terminology, change the company culture. That's what's important, company culture. And that's what they're all missing.
It's interesting you talk about culture, Laurie. How does culture differ across the people who are accessing the Shira, the Shiru app? This is something that's mainly built by AI. I'm interested in knowing how that is sort of molded into the way that we are in the UK. So we're very different in our behaviors, I think, in the UK as to how we are in the US, for example. All the stuff that comes through personal development and what have you tends to have its genesis in the US. And we often have to, don't we, Rachel? We have to adapt this to how people behave in the UK. Really interesting to know how you deal with that.
So the company culture starts with the leaders. And we've got a lot of companies using our platform. And I just know when I have calls with these guys how fulfilled they are within their job, right? And their company is thriving. And you can look at their numbers online. they're exceptionally successful with such a small team because they're a happy workforce that are striving and thriving. That's the difference. Now, what Shira also offers, we've got a fully comprehensive data analytical dashboard powered by AI. Now, you don't need to be overwhelmed. You're not programming this AI. You're just using the buttons. Everything's got AI. Zoom uses AI. Every platform has AI. You just don't know about it unless they scream from the rooftops, right? Some platforms are more entrenched of it, admittedly. So our dashboard gives business owners and people in HR the full insight to how their employees are feeling. Because every mood and emotion that you track on our interactive sliders, every sleep log that you log, all the keywords from our AI therapy tool and from the journal, not the specific words, and you'll never know who the user is, but this gives people a voice to be able to put all of their inputs into the platform, and it categorizes it into bucket keywords in the admin panel. So if you've got 100 employees and one of the keywords are coming in about this job satisfaction, you know people are not happy with their job. Right, there's statistics everywhere. We know that. People are going to go, great, you give me a platform. It's helping the people. And we've got a lot of feedback here. It's all in fancy looking, nice reports. I understand everything that's written there because it's black and white. I don't get on with my manager. Poor colleague communication, X, Y, and Z. Now what do I do? Well, we've built a button. It takes 3 seconds. You click it, it gives you an AI-powered solution. Our AI scans every positive and negative input and output, everything you type in your journal, everything you speak to the AI therapy tool about, every mood and emotion you track, the content you're listening to, everything you do in that platform provides feedback to that solution. And then the solution might give you one example or 20. Let's say it's a handful. It might say, create a survey. Great. We've got a fully functioning survey feature in the admin panel, which links to the app. You can create your own surveys or use our templates. So if it's about job dissatisfaction, create a survey. Add one answer, one question and answer or 10. Whatever you feel like you want to do, send it out. It pops up in the app. So you get feedback and surveys directly from the app. That's going to help towards your solution. The solution might be offer groups of people in your organization to go for walks. How many people do you know when the boss stands on the chair and says, right, I want you five and you five to go for a walk around the block with no mobile phone devices and communicate and talk, get some fresh air? Because it's not normal. People only want to live in what they believe is normal, and it's what's outdated practices. That's where that comes from. That's what needs to change. And that's what company culture is about. Company culture is so riddled with outdated practices. That's why things are not getting better. And we've got all the data from all of the companies that use us. We work with big guys such as Adecco, Nike, big companies, all the way through to small teams with 5 or 10 staff. And when we look at the data, the positivity and how things have changed from month 1 to month 4, it's astonishing. It started off, one company in particular was around 68%. It's now at around 92% in 3 months. And they still got the same amount of use.
Is that of satisfaction, Laurie, or well-being? Like, what's the score?
So you get different scorings. The master score is your company's overall mental health and well-being. That overall score is a factor of everything.
So you then can benchmark it moving forward.
Right? Benchmark it moving forward. So, and what we want to do at a later date, we want this Shira to be the new standard. That's your certificate to say, this is how my company feels. So when we speak to a lot of recruitment companies, and we work with some, for instance, a company called Salt. They got 2,500 staff, and they are very big on well-being within recruitment, right? And what problems they face when they're recruiting companies, people for companies, people, well, what's the morale like? What's the company culture? Where am I putting my effort? Because my life's quite nice at home. I'm moving job. If I work with you, are you going to destroy my life? I need to know that. It's a big question. It's not about the money. About the money. It's like, don't go in there begging for the job. Go in there. They need you. So ask those guys, what are you going to do for me? Are you going to ruin my life? Yes or no? What are your managers like? Can I see them? Why am I only being interviewed by you? Can I see your team? Where do I work every day? Like, what chair do I sit on? Am I going to get backache? Do you look after your people? That's a question, right? Or do you just demand tasks from them? And that's a big thing that being a business leader is so important. You've got to put yourself in the situation, the position of those that work for you, and ask yourself the same question. Would you be happy with the workload, with the tools you've given them, and the environment that you're sitting those guys in? Would you be happy with that? And if you would be, great. But then look at it from a different perspective, because I work 12, 15 hours a day. Well, do I expect my employees to do that? No way. So that's where quantum thinking comes in. You need to be able to look at two things, at one thing from many different angles. And I always tell, when I do consulting for business owners and stuff, I always tell them from a coaching perspective, you could have a handful of the same family sat around a dinner table and there could be a burger in the middle of that table. Now, you being hungry, going, oh, I can't wait to tuck into that burger. The person next to you is a vegan. They do not want to look at that burger. The person opposite you just ate a big meal. They don't even want that burger in front of them. The person to the right of you has never had a burger. So they're curious, right? That's four different perspectives of one burger. It still costs the same. Doesn't matter where you bought it. It still looks the same. But it gives a different kind of feeling to that person that's looking at it. And that's what business owners need to understand. We've all got different problems going on at home. Yeah, Sarah in HR may be amazing. She might be going for a breakup with her husband you don't know about. So what are you going to do to help her? It's not just about the workload you're dumping on her. What are you going to do to help her in everyday life? Because what she does at home comes into the workplace and vice versa.
It's really very aligned with how what we would talk about on the Building Better Leaders program, is that we talk about treating people how they want to be treated rather than treating everybody the same. And you very eloquently explained, Laurie, the benefits of Shiru. I'm interested, if you could wave a magic wand, what would it look like in a number of years' time? Where's the scope? Where could this ideally go?
So we want to work with the NHS, and we've got open dialogues at the moment where people that have a type of mental health issue that they may or may not know about, rather than wait 3 months, 6 months, 2 years for an appointment, you would be referred by the private GP or your GP, the NHS. Hey, please use Shira. Track your moods and emotions. Do the things you need to do in the app. Two reasons. One, it's going to give us the data so we can assess you better, rather than rushing in a 30-minute appointment for you to chuck a load of stuff at me and then me go, great, although I'm a doctor, I'm a professional, I think I'm going to give you some tablets, which are fine, but not all people need medication. Right, that's crisis. Secondly, whilst you're using the app and the platform so we can get the data to better assess you, these healthy habits are going to help give you a sense of relief. When I had anxiety so bad, I was saying to my close friend at the time, I want to die. I cannot deal with this anymore. My head was spinning. I couldn't think. I couldn't function. I was going to the doctor telling them, there's something wrong with my heart or my head. It's not like my mind. There's something wrong. I had every assessment you can imagine, and it was anxiety. He offered me medication. And the minute he offered me that, I felt low, degraded. I felt I let myself down. And I told them no. He said, if you come back again, you will have to be, you're getting them. So I advise you not to come back. And I said to myself when I walked out of that doctor's, I will never, ever, ever do that and go back there again, because I'm stronger than this and I can beat this. That was 12, 13. I was 18 years old. I'm 32 now. So it's a long time ago. But it was a real turning point in my life. I didn't want medication, and there was no platform that could help me create those healthy habits. And I realized quickly it was my habits. I was smoking cigarettes. I was getting out of bed at 10, 11 o'clock in the afternoon, going to bed at midnight. I was junk eating crisp and chocolate at night. I wasn't going on walks. Walk where? To the local shop to get my chocolate bars. That was about in a pack of cigarettes. Like, it was such bad, unhealthy habits. And I changed all of that. And guess what? The magic wand took away anxiety.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
To that point, though, Laurie, about the medication, is a lot of people, and you know, the NHS is at crisis point, and GPs are doing the best, But without data points, they don't know if somebody's journaling or not. They don't, you know, they don't know this information. And then I think when you put people on medication, some people think all the medication's going to solve them. But and medication might be right for some people, but it should be done in alignment with a with another platform and other healthy habits.
Organic. Like,
you can have medication, yes, but you should also be doing the walks, the diet change, the breathing, like. And then eventually you can come off the medication, or you might not need it at all, which in which case
certain people have brain dysfunctions. Certain things chemically are not wired correctly and they need medication. I'm not disputing that at all. Mm. And I'm not here to say GPs are doing something wrong. But as you just mentioned and touched on, they don't have the data. You've got a 30-minute appointment to tell.
You have 10 minutes most of the time.
So 10, right? In certain areas, let's say, right? 30 if you're lucky. How can this person, how professional, doesn't matter how professional they are, analyze you? They're not a therapist or a counselor. So they can't understand, okay, so asking questions, do you go on a walk? Do you do this? Do you do that? What do you do? Your 10 minutes is gone. They just need to know, how are you feeling right now? And what's the outcome when you leave this room? If it's crisis, you need medication, right? Mm-hmm. But just 10 days or 2 weeks of doing something as simple as making your bed, getting up at the same time, going to bed at the same time, drinking a glass of water, limiting your time on your phone, and coming to the realization that it doesn't matter how much you do now, there's still going to be more to do tomorrow.
Mm. You want Shirar in the NHS. What are the other plans that you're working on for if somebody's interested as a business kind of buyer and they're thinking, where's this app going to go? What else is exciting that's coming down the line?
We're launching our own EAP. So I feel like I've given you a few teasers already. I might as well tell you now. It's going to be called PEEP. We've just trademarked it. P-E-A-P, PEEP. Peep into the future of workforce well-being. That's the strap line. Now, we have got a big, massive sheet and list of partners, from doctors to life coaches, healthcare professionals, you name it, lawyers, financial advisors. You will be able to access any professional directly through our app. You can see their profile, see their focus points, all of their history. You click calendar, pick a date, and you pay. Or the company pays for you via credits. Companies buy credits to be able to pay for it. So we're going to be giving a premium employee assistance program. That's going to be launching in June. So you're one of the first in the public to actually know about it. So it's under development. We've been testing it a lot already. So that's going to be a huge feature and functionality for users in the app. So you've got direct access to therapists if you need it, and counsellors.
So what the potential is, I guess, is, I'm just thinking about it, if I was in HR, is it's a scalable one-stop shop solution that will have something for everybody that can tailor personalized well-being support to anybody in your organization.
But you don't need to do any development. You don't need to do anything. I'll tell you, the only development you need to do, that was a lie, you need to connect our integration to Slack, Teams, and Zapier, if you want to. So, hey, Mr. IT man, can you connect our Zapier to our HR software? Because it can pull reports. So all of the reports you get in the Shirar admin panel will sync to your HR software. All of the stuff in the app can sync to Slack and Teams. So you can give people affirmations via Slack and Teams on their desktop, because we deliver affirmations. Yeah, you can pick any focuses you want of the affirmations. We've got over 50,000 in our database. You select your focus point. They're just going to ping up to your watch every day. I set mine at 10 affirmations a day. So on average, I get one every hour and 15 minutes or 10 minutes, right? They always seem to come at the right time. So you get affirmations. They're alerting you. You get all of the other functionalities. We are a full 360 well-being solution. And over the next coming months, as I said, we're launching the PEEP, the EAP, in June. There is nothing we don't have. And you get all of that for less of a price than you would for one platform that does a small percentage of that. Calm and Headspace, for instance. Those guys won't even communicate with a business unless you've got 5,000 staff plus.
Yeah, it's a little bit scale prohibitive.
Very automated, and they've done very well. They're billion-dollar platforms. But they specialize in these things: restoration, travel buddy, sleep, meditation. And it's more about that side of things. We are a holistical and a clinical based platform. And that's why we are a 360 solution.
Well, I think we've covered all the benefits of Shira there. And thank you so much for sharing your story. It is a tradition on the podcast, Laurie, that we ask any guest on the podcast to share their three leadership essentials. Yes. And obviously you have a lot of entrepreneurial experience as well as, you know, you're studying psychology now. But what would be your three leadership essentials that you'd share with our listeners?
Is that three must-haves?
If you like, if you're a leader, what three things would you do to be the best version of yourself and to be the best role model for others?
So one thing I'd always say, do what you say you're going to do. Don't just talk about it, right? Most people get cheap stimulants, dopamine and endorphins from talking. They'll talk about something and it makes them feel good, but they won't action it. Do what you say you're going to do. And do the things that you expect from the people that work with you.
It's a good one.
Yeah. And always remember, people don't work for you. They work with you. You might have the best product and be making lots of money. If you have no team, who's doing your sales calls? Who's dealing with your data? Who's dealing with your customer service, shipping your products? If you don't have a team, you have nothing. So your team are everything. So give them a well-being solution that's going to help them, because it's your duty.
And a third one?
Third one. Don't work so hard, because one day it's all going to be over.
Oh, we've never, do you know what? We've never actually had that one, have we, John?
It's going to be over one day. Do you know what? You can be the richest man in the cemetery.
Yeah.
Not a great place to be rich. So enjoy life as well. Take some time for yourself to do things for you. That email's still going to be there 30 minutes later after you've done something for yourself. I'm going to go get in the plunge pool right now, because I feel like I've been staring at these lights for so long.
Laurie, before you jump into that plunge pool, I've got one more question for you.
Yes, let's do it.
And it really does relate to, I think, how a lot of people think. So you tell me whether you think it works. What did you once firmly believe in that no longer holds true for you now, and why?
What did I originally believe in that no longer holds
true for you now, and why?
I believe that people should be categorized by their wealth. I believed intelligence was categorized by wealth. And I've come to the realization and a strong understanding that wealth lives inside of your mind, not in your bank account. And he who controls his mind controls everything.
I love that. Thank you, Laurie. If anybody has been really sparked, you know, and getting really curious by this conversation, where can they find out more information about Shira? And if they are in a position where, you know, they can influence these decisions, where can they learn about more for Shira for Business?
So you can go to shira.io, shira.io. And there you can set up a 14-day free trial. You'll get one free license, which will give you access to the app. And we have a web app, which can sit on your desktop. Have a look, have a sniff around, play with it yourself. You don't have to talk to anyone else in the company. Just activate an account, play with it, see if it suits you and works for you. Check out the admin panel, play with that. Then put your own sort of synopsis together and go to those who you need to and ask the question, is there scope? It all starts with a question, is there scope? And the deal is always done from the follow-up. Hey, I asked if there was scope. It's been a little while. Can I have a follow-up, please? Can I have a reply, please? Always follow up. If you personally care about mental health and well-being and it's your job role, don't be scared of the people above you. If you work in HR, get your contract out and check your job role. It's your entitlement and it's your responsibility to ask them questions, regardless who above you gets annoyed.
Fabulous. And if anybody wants to share to follow you personally, where can they find you?
At Loza Haynes on Instagram, on LinkedIn, just type in Laurie Haynes, or go on Google and type in Laurie Haynes. You'll see every social link and everything else is all there. Can't really be missed. So yeah, just find it there. Sharah is Sharah.
We will drop the link in the
Anyone can drop me a message at any time if they've got any more questions or queries, and we can always jump on a call.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for
your
time.
Thank you so much for
having me. Enjoy that plunge pool.
Really great. Thank you so much. Cheers, guys. See you later.
See you, Laurie.
Thank you so much for listening to the Building Better Leaders podcast. We hope you've got a lot out of this. If you'd like to read up a bit more on any of the content that you've heard in today's podcast, be sure to check out our website, scaffoldcoaching.com.